promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
You've never once helped a little lady in the kitchen. You've never assisted her with the grocery shopping. But for some reason, when it comes to grilling slabs of flesh over an open fire, it's suddenly a man's job.
You love to handle your meat.
You know precisely how long it takes to cook every variety of meat. A steak, one beer. Brisket, three. An entire suckling pig, can you say keg?
You're both getting marinated.
When the meat is fully cooked, you're half-baked.
Try not to pass out in the fire, yeah.
So the next time you're wiping barbecue sauce off every one of your appendages, be sure to thank the guy in the Kiss the Cook apron, passed out in the chaise lounge. Mr. Backyard Barbecuer, a real American hero.
Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
Don't look now, I think the deck is on fire.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the Morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
And good morning, buenos dias, bonjour. Welcome to March 1st. February's over and we're moving right along. Good morning, Kara. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Welcome to your own show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling it my own show.
Uh-huh.
Good to give me a little credit once in a while.
Well, yeah. You know, we know it's Sam and Kara.
Sam hates Kara in the Morning. I still love that so much.
Yeah.
I almost think we should put that on and change the title.
Yeah, we could, huh?
Sam hates Kara in the Morning. That's actually really
Except it's not true.
It's not true.
No.
You had me at Buenos Dias. That threw me off coming out of your mouth.
Really?
Bonjour, not so much, but Buenos Dias, I was like, what is he doing over there, huh?
Well, it is the entertainment capital of the world, and we do have quite a bit of, quite a big Hispanic population here, so we have to learn Spanish if we want to be able to get along here.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're really pioneering ahead with Buenos Dias.
Yeah. Well,
way to put the work in, Sam. Way to really put the elbow grease into that. What else do you know? You know where the bathroom is? You know how to say that?
Baños, right?
That's the bathroom, but that's bathroom. But do you know how to say where is the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. ¿Dónde está el baño?
Good job.
Yeah.
Man, I'm super impressed, to be honest.
No, I'm pretty good.
Look
I don't
at that.
Understand a word, but... You know.
Really?
Yeah. Do you speak Spanish?
No, un poquito.
Yeah.
But you
very
know what,
poquito.
But you know what I do is I was in a bakery that's and I was speaking Spanish to some of the people there, and the people in the line just start laughing. I'm like, where the hell are they laughing? Because this is really Spanish. But because I'm Texan, I have a little bit of an accent. A little bit of an accent. It comes out when I speak my Spanglish. Get your Spanglish going. And I was like, un poquito.
Paquito.
I said, ¿Dónde está
Paquito.
La pastries de la chocolate?
Yeah.
No necesito mucho
quiero. You do have a problem with the accent there. Yeah, you have to work
That's a little
that.
Put on, but I'm just saying it slips out of it. So they were all laughing. I was like, no, this is real, people. This is real talk right now.
Real talk.
This is a real talk. This is a real deal right here. How's everybody doing out there? We've been gone a few days. We had the weekend and then...
Sam's little gremlins came in. Yesterday, yeah. We changed our server yesterday, so it was a big deal, and I had to be available and indisposable. So that's what it was, and you got to sleep in, which is nice.
Yeah, it's always the days. Yeah, I did sleep in yesterday though.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing, a friend of mine, she's from Canada, and she's doing she did a music video. It's a spoof to a popular rap song. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, the song is called, well, you have to wait till it comes out on YouTube, but basically it's a joke, but it's stuff you're gonna love, Sam. It's and I say that jokingly, it's girls that like cut a fart. Mm-hmm. And then they like leave. So you're like, who did it? But it's girls, and she wanted me to be in it. I was like, no, I just don't want. And my other roommate, Sarah, and I were like,
they wanted you to be in it?
They want me to be doing funny stuff because I'm funny, yeah, right? Uh-huh. And Sarah and I were like, we're still single. This is a good look for us.
Yeah.
Like, because she's married. We're like, we're still single. But so I choreographed her, the dancing, and I choreographed some of her stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to be in it. She really wanted me to be in it. And I said, I'm not going to be in it, but I'll choreograph it or whatever.
Right. So what, was she farting on command or what?
No, she's just rapping about, like, you know, she goes, it's like, it basically rapping about, you know, like she's got gas and she's just ripping it. And it's like she's leaving the scene.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's called like, it's, anyway, it's based off a rap song, which I don't like until it hits YouTube, because it's going to be probably really big on YouTube. I'll wait and we'll have her on the show. But she has a friend who's a professional music video director of photography and director, and he's done some big stuff. And she flew him down from Canada to do this, like, this YouTube thing. And so it's going to look hot. And then they've got me in there. So I ended up being her hype man, you know, like rappers, they have like the lead rapper, and then they got the guy that's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And they're like just dancing with the person.
Yeah.
And I'm that person.
I see. Okay. So it's a woman rapping.
Yeah. And then all these
and
girl dancers.
She cuts the cheese here and there.
Yeah.
And wow. I didn't realize women were fascinated with farting. That's unusual.
I think what she's doing it is it's a real easy play off of a big rap song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really easy, like, reference to this rap song.
Right.
And it would be kind of, it's going to be funny. And mm-hmm. I think it's more like, it's going to be really big on YouTube. Like, her last video has 10 million hits on YouTube. Like, she's done really well with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's kind of one of those combinations. Are girls fascinated with farting?
You know, I'm tired of people throwing numbers up in the air like this. You
oh,
know?
You are?
If she has 10,000, I'm cutting off my left testicle, okay?
Why?
10 million, my ass.
You don't think
you know what 10 million is? I mean, you would be like a star, a fucking star. What are you talking about? I mean, Lady Gaga has like, what, like 12 million followers on Twitter or something? Nobody reaches those numbers. It's fucking bullshit. I'm tired of people throwing numbers in the air. Everybody's got millions
and
millions.
Do you think that YouTube is, I'm just going to see if it's true. This is what she told me, and I've actually looked at it. So I'm just looking it up right now, and we're going to see if it
I don't
is.
Think it tells you how many people have viewed it.
It always has views on there,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's check it out and see.
Yeah.
I may have to cut off my left testicle after all.
Yeah, I've got to find where it is, because I can't remember the name of her thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'll keep looking for it, but when I find it, we'll see how many it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is an astronomical amount of views.
Right.
But anyway, that's what she told me. I didn't really think she'd lie, so, but maybe she's a liar, so we'll find out today on the air. You guys,
it's not about lying, it's just about people inflating numbers, because nobody can verify this bullshit.
Well, is it inflating it if it says it on YouTube? Like, if it says views?
If it says 10 million views, then I'll believe it. What
yeah.
can I tell you?
I'll
have to eat my shoe.
That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah. So, anyway, so, I guess there was a problem with, you know, Christian Dior, the designer. I guess they have a designer named John Galliano.
Okay.
And he was videotaped making anti-Semitic comments in a Paris restaurant.
Not good.
No, so check out. So they're firing him.
Mm.
And this is what he said. I guess he was fighting with someone. And he says, I love Hitler. Your mother, your forefathers would be fucking gassed and fucking dead.
What?
Yeah, that's what he said to someone. So, I guess they're firing his ass.
You think?
Yeah, and, oh no, I don't think, I know. That's what they're saying. And I guess he was, you know, I guess they're saying that, you know, they don't want to associate with this shit, and they're going to let him go.
Wow.
So he was pretty drunk, I guess, but who cares, right?
Yeah.
People say all kinds of stupid shit.
Man, that's just insane.
Yeah.
on other breaking news, I did find her video, and it is it's not 10, but it's 7. It's over 7 million.
7 million views.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes they're reposted, you know, different ones, so maybe she has one that's larger. I don't know. But 7 million.
7 million views.
I'm trying to think. But it's been over years ago. It was in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think, too, that's like a number that's grown through years.
Yeah, but what's so special about the video that people watch?
She's really funny, but it's like kind of a gag type, spoof type. It's like some stuff excels amazing on the web because it's engineered for the web.
Right.
And so the search, the tags, the content, how quick it is, the downloadability, all that kind of stuff, like that makes it, or the watchability, it makes it very, very successful on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people figure that out, I have friends that do it for a living that do well with it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so that was just to find that out. So yeah, so maybe it was a little exaggerated, but still very up there. You sent me this thing because yesterday I called Sam, my only really close computer friend, that, you know, he doesn't have a say in the matter. He has to be there. And I said, Sam, I got this thing in the mail, my email saying I couldn't log into my Gmail unless I reset my password. They sent me a confirmation through my phone with a confirmation. Like they said, so your Gmails have been acting disturbingly weird, basically, at weird activity. We're going to have to send you a verification code to get back into your Gmail.
Wow.
Like, that's odd.
Uh-huh.
And I sent them my email. They sent me a verification code. I type it in. Then I
they have your phone number on Gmail?
Yes.
Why is that happening?
Well, they got it now because I couldn't get back into my Gmail account. They had to send me a verification code to identify it was me.
Right, but usually they ask you for another email address and then they'll send it there. I can't imagine they would send you text to your phone.
Well,
wow.
They freaking did.
That's really invasion of privacy.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
But you left the phone number up there. Take it off.
I'll take it off.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they let me back in my Gmail and I reset my password, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I called you because I was like, what is this? This is what's going on. And you just sent me this thing on CNN says Google nukes thousands of Gmail accounts.
Right. And I guess there were a lot of problems there. So they were working on it yesterday. And mine didn't have any problem with it, except something with the calendar or that. But for the most part, it worked fine for me. But I guess a lot of people did find some problems with Gmail yesterday.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
wow.
Did you hear this? Christina Aguilera is detained after her boyfriend is arrested driving drunk, and she was in the car. So, they're detaining her to ensure her safety.
Her safety?
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was driving under the influence at 2:45 a.m. in West Hollywood.
Yeah, so that becomes, she's now like liable for not, what, stepping up and driving or what? Was she drunk too or?
I don't know what it says. It says since the singer was not able to care for herself and no one was available to ensure her safety, Aguilera was taken into custody. Wow.
Wow. So that's crazy. So she really, with a woman that has a huge entourage, there wasn't some personal assistant or somebody that could.
No, I guess there was nobody, but yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know.
That's not good PR for her boyfriend.
No, no, and not for her either. Maybe she'll leave him now.
You think she should leave him?
Yeah.
Why? Because of this?
Because he's endangering her life.
Okay, that's a good reason.
Yeah.
that's a good point. It's kind of exciting though, right, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
stay, you know, a little walk of the wild side, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
Keep it going.
Keep it going. Keep it going. I don't know. I'll have to ask you later how to make sure my phone number is not available. But
yeah. Just go there in the settings. I'm sure it's there somewhere.
We'll figure it out on another time and date.
Yeah.
Until then, you guys have time to find my phone number. Until I figure it out.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to find your phone number.
You never know. You never know.
You never know. That's true. Yeah.
Mm. So, Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
Okay, what's up with him? So he's
off. He was on Piers Morgan last night.
Piers Morgan, yes, let's see that.
And he was bad-mouthing his producer and everybody else and telling them to fuck off.
What is that from? I mean, was he high or something? Was he on something?
No, apparently not. Apparently not. He says he's totally clean now.
What, for 3 days?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
He's so he went on the attack as far as they go, you know?
Well, of course. I mean, it is sad because when people have these shows that are basically centered around them, mm-hmm. it still takes a huge cast and crew of people that this is their bread and butter, how
right.
to make their money. The
exactly.
The writers, the gaffers, the key grips, the everybody, the lighting, freaking everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Editors, all of it.
Yeah. And he screwed all of them up, you know?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's crazy, but... I'll
yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody should support this guy. I mean, he's out of control, he's hurting people, and it's bullshit. It's not like he's sitting at home and, you know, he's affecting a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, if someone that worked for me said such terrible things about me, I'd fire their ass too, you know?
Don't bite the hand that feeds you, huh?
Exactly.
It's like time, it's not working out.
You don't fucking do that, no.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the Oscars?
Just a little bit of it, you know? It's like, it's so boring, you know? I mean, I don't get thrilled watching celebrities bask in their own light kind of a thing, you
mm-hmm.
know? Self-congratulating and, you know, it kind of bothers me, you know?
I have to totally agree. See, I thought there was a lot of great films out. I really did want to see the awards, like where they were going and who was going to get recognized for what performances. But... there are very, very, like, if any, few moving speeches. Mm. It's so political. They get up there. They do the, I am just so happy to be here. No tears, but they're acting like they're crying. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, I want to thank my manager, my agent. And they start naming off these technical people that if you're a listener or a viewer or whatever.
You don't care.
It's boring.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. And it looks like I have to thank everyone. It's not a heartfelt.
Right.
You know? And it's not exciting. I mean,
it's all business, you know? I mean, that's what it's about, you know? And then thanking their mom and God and all that.
I'm going to thank God, not my mom.
Not your mom, but God.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. You can't leave God out of it.
I don't think you, I don't think you can because it depends on obviously what you believe, but you guys know me running my mouth about God all the time.
We do.
I'm not going to, I'm going to run it hardcore if I get an award. Because I think ultimately this is every good gift comes from God. So it's how can you take credit for something that you really feel like God gave you the ability to do something, right? Like if you're a great artist or a drawer, you work at your gift and your talent, but the fact that you even have that to begin with comes from God. That's what I think. Like we're all made so differently.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to go.
Yeah, but in that case, you have to thank God every day a million times a day for everything.
Yeah, you want to, though. It's good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I try to thank him every day.
Mm.
But I thank him not just for things for me, but just even just little stuff because, well, one, it's good because it gives credit where credit's due, but it also, gratitude changes your mind and your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for sometimes I don't want to go to my little side job, and I'm just like, oh, damn it, not today. Not today, that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, I'm grateful to have a job, but I'm grateful that I have cool people to work with and grateful that I get that paycheck.
Right, right.
And just grateful because it came at such a great time when I really needed it too.
Uh-huh.
So I just have to remind myself.
Okay, well, you know, but leave God out of it. You know, he's busy.
He's not busy, Sam.
He's busy.
Whatever.
He's too busy for this bullshit.
It's not bullshit. It's, you know what?
He's got a whole universe to run. Relax.
Look, send him
some
praise.
He doesn't care about your job.
Whatever. He's great. He does. He's not confined by the hugeness and complexity of the world.
We understand. A great invention by man.
Whatever.
An excellent invention.
I'm telling you, gratitude changes your mind, changes your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. Okay, what are, like, the tiniest things that if you didn't have, you'd be like, damn, I wish I had those. Like, your coffee.
Tiniest things?
Yeah, like, aren't you happy you have your coffee every morning?
Yes.
Have you ever, like, ran out and didn't have any and had to go to work or something like that? It sucks.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. And does it bring you a little bit of joy having coffee in the morning? Does it make you just happy a bit having coffee? You're like, oh.
I don't know. I don't think about that. I just fucking pour the damn thing and drink it.
But, I mean, I'm not making it like it's this huge invention that it's changing the world. But it's those little comforts that we have that we don't even realize that we take.
They're all man-made, you know?
Well, coffee's actually grown, but whatever. It is processed by man, but, you know, it is natural.
Yeah.
Like those little things. Okay. Like I love coffee. I love Starbucks. I get a tall in a grande cup, so I get extra room for cream.
And you thank God for that too.
That I can buy.
Hallelujah,
coffee.
Man.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I've been busted broke before and looking for quarters to get my coffee. Coffee when I go on a run and I like enjoy my run and I'm outside.
Yeah.
I thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, well, believe what you want, you know. So, I mean, on a related note, a Christian author's book sparks charges of heresy. This guy claims that...
Who can charge anyone with heresy nowadays?
I don't know, but he goes... He preaches that everybody goes to heaven and that there's no hell.
Oh, okay.
And...
I mean, clearly that's not biblically supported, but anybody can write a book.
Yeah.
And you can believe
anybody
and
can write
and
a book, right?
Believe whatever you want to
just
believe.
Just like people invented hell and heaven, then he can say.
Well, you think
only
people invented heaven and hell?
Oh, they have invented it. Trust
well,
me.
I'm just saying it's your opinion, so.
So is your so
yeah,
is,
but
okay.
Recognize it as an opinion and as a belief. It's a belief you have.
Right. Okay. A stupid one at that.
What? Yours is stupid. Stop! Don't be so hard on
yourself. Not mine. No.
No, I just.
I mean, these are children's stories. Kara,
well, that's because the way you're
on,
looking
you know?
At him. The way
no,
you're looking
I mean,
at him
look,
is
I,
like...
I believe in God. I respect God, but I don't turn it into, you know, a commercial thing, a, you know, something that, you know, I don't know. I just don't see
well,
organized
I think
religion
there's an element,
as the answer.
I think there's an element that I agree with you. I mean, there is a commercial side to religion, right? There is a... it's kind of packaged.
There's a power and control it.
I totally
issue
agree.
And you know?
I totally agree with
yeah.
you on that.
Okay.
I don't disagree with you on that. But I look at it on a deeper level, like heaven and hell. I don't look at it like heaven's a bunch of sheep with wings and fluffy clouds, and hell's like, you know, Satan with a pitchfork and horns, and you kind of go either place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's not like that. I think it's a spiritual thing. It's complete. It's either eternity with God or eternity absent from God. Is the way I look at it.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not this. We put it in those terms because that's how we understand it, because we live in a physical world, and you know, and it's really what it represents. It's not really the physical place as much, you know. But you know, I've heard it said this, and it makes sense to me that God is God doesn't force His will on people. Like He doesn't force anything. He gives us choice.
Right.
And
but you see, I think this is forcing me. If I know there's hell, then I don't really have a freedom of choice. I mean, it's like, it's not. I mean, obviously, you know, it's like if I do it because I'm afraid, that's like living in Libya.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that that's actually a really good point, because fear is a component, but fear, like there's a healthy level of fear. It's just like, for example, you tell your kid, don't cross the street, stay on the side of the street, right?
Right.
Your kid doesn't really have to initially understand why. They just need to obey you, right? To be protected.
Right.
There's a healthy level of fear of like, I just don't need to cross the street, right? And then as they grow up, it matures and they understand why this and what the precautions and da-da-da-da-da. And I think that when you're dealing with these kind of subjects, I think there is a sobering element of fear of what would it really be like to be
right.
eternally absent from God.
Right.
Like, I mean, really play it out in your mind. Like, what does that mean to you? And what do you think that looks like?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of the goodness we experience in this life, we don't attribute to God, but if it was taken away from us, we would go, oh, that was God. I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, that the fact that I could laugh and have fun and have friends and have love in my life, that was all God. And I didn't realize
right.
it. And then
right.
all of a sudden, boom, none of that. You can't experience any of that.
Mm.
So I don't know. I think it's more like, you know, I agree with what you're saying, the commercial element of things, the propaganda, the control. I'm not for that at all. I don't think that's God personally. I think that's man. But I think heaven and hell is of a spiritual. It's a spiritual condition, you know, where you're. It's like if you spend your whole life running from God and not wanting to know God, and then why would you spend an eternity with Him?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, so.
On other news.
I don't know if I still don't know if I get your point, because often, you know, I mean, I hear contradictions in the things that you say sometimes, but I'm not gonna call you on all of them, you know. I mean, you know.
Well, only to the point that you feel like you want to have that conversation, and then if you get exhausted by it, you know, look, we've done over a year of shows now, so it's obviously
conversation. We know your opinion pretty
well.
Much.
No, the conversation is going to always be on the table, so you know you can tap into it a little bit every day. Yeah. We don't have to like figure it out all the time. I mean, this is just what I believe. I'm not trying to convince you.
Right.
I just believe it or not, I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just trying to explain it.
Right.
You know, because I'm trying to put myself in your position, and you're saying the things that you see from the things you've experienced and the things that you see and the things that offend you and the things you think are contradictory. And I'm trying to think how you feel and what your perception is. And
right.
then I'm trying to look at what I believe and try to break it down to kind of acknowledge where you are and yet maybe go, well, have you looked at it from this perspective?
Yeah. And I want you to know, I respect your beliefs and everything. I just give you my opinion, of course. And because it's hard for me to understand someone who's pretty intelligent and stuff believing in these stories, you know. I mean, this is stuff that you tell kids.
But
you know?
is it really such a little fairy tale for me to think, you know, our soul is endless and that in this after this life, we spend either eternity with our creator or eternity without.
Right.
Is that really?
But you're translating it the way that you would like, you know. I mean, I don't know.
No,
if
I think
other
that's
people
what the Bible
say.
Says. I think that's what the Bible says. It's just. Mm. You know, there's layers to the Bible. There's so many different layers, and there's, you know, those parables, which are stories that are taught to illustrate principles, and then talks about heaven and hell. But if you really study heaven and hell, and as far as what the Bible says about it, they're not. It's not as we know it, physical places. Mm-hmm. It's really about dwelling in the presence of God or not in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Like it describes hell as a place where there's gnashing of the teeth and basically bitterness and pain. And then it says it's a flame, a fire that never dies out. But then it says it's complete darkness. So
right.
How can you have a flame that never dies out, like fire, and then complete darkness? Obviously, this isn't a physical. It's not like we know it. It's complete void of God,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But what if I go through life, let's say I'm a very good person, I'm a mm-hmm. giving, loving person mm-hmm. and everything, but I don't pray to God, I don't talk about God, I don't do these things. Mm-hmm. Where am I going to end up?
Well, I mean, that's really for God to judge, not me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just know, like biblically speaking, like the Bible talks about God's definition of good and then our definition of good. And usually we think a lot higher of ourselves than we are. I mean, our intentions may be good. We may want to do good things, but are we really perfect? No. Are we really holy? No, not really. I mean, we may try, but is it ever going to be good enough? I don't think so. That's why I don't look at man's ability as what makes him close to God. I look at it as God's ability to reach out to us.
And, right.
You know what I mean?
But what I'm saying is, you know, I'm seeing these contradictions where there's people that are really good people
mm-hmm.
and they just don't pray to God. They don't follow uh-huh. these things. You know, they just kind of like they have good morals. They're good people, loving people and everything. Mm-hmm. And then you have people that are like totally into God and into religion, and then they do terrible things.
Yeah.
So who's going to
go
to
hell,
you know?
I totally see your point.
So that's what I'm saying,
no,
you know?
There's, you know, man, that's a tough one because I completely see your point. I mean,
So who goes, you know? I mean, who goes to hell? Who goes to heaven?
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot to what you're asking. I mean, well, we're like biblically, like I would say, you know, the Bible extends a free gift to all humanity. We believe that, you know, God came down in the form of Christ and sacrificed himself for restoration of humanity. And that if you have faith in God through his son Christ, that you're given grace, which means you're eternally sealed and going to be with God for eternity.
Right.
Now, that doesn't
So you have to accept Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven? Is that what you're saying pretty much?
Well, I believe, yes, I do believe that. But I believe
okay,
the
so
way...
Okay, so you're saying essentially that all Jews would not go to heaven.
First of all, don't get on your Jew talk for a
Why?
Second. Why? Because you've done this before and you try. What you're trying to do... What you're trying to do...
No, but
you
I don't understand because...
You don't give me a chance to explain.
Okay, go ahead, explain. You've got all the time
okay,
in the world.
So listen. We believe that, you know, Christ is the Messiah. The Jews don't.
Right,
or not
right.
all Jews. Some Jews do, but... Let's say, you know,
Jews for Jesus.
Jews for Jesus. You guys don't even recognize.
There's exactly 100 people.
We just disagree on the Messiah, which makes a big difference. The Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Old Testament is Old Covenant. The New Testament is the New Covenant.
Yeah, well,
and
okay.
So the concept, too, is that we believe that I know Christ came to save, not to condemn. He came to restore our souls to God. Mm-hmm. And that through his sacrifice and resurrection, we are able to have that intimacy with God and that eternity with God. Now, the application of that is where I don't judge, because there's people in different faiths, there's people, different backgrounds, different parts of the world that have had a coming to Jesus, so to speak, moments in their life. They're really seeking the Lord. They're really seeking God. And in their own way, I feel like, you know, Jesus finds them. And I can't formulate it. I can't say how that looks because it's so personal. But you can, you know, I do believe that God is bigger than our understanding. And I do believe that God reaches out. Like, you know, if you grew up in a Muslim faith and that's all you know what I mean? I believe God is looking at the hearts of men, and he's looking at who's seeking him.
Right.
Who's seeking him, regardless of your whatever background, like who's seeking, because God's bigger than all that. He made everyone. And I believe God will reach people where they are, you know, if they're really, really seeking him. Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, heaven, hell, and who gets to go and who gets to stay, that's not my place to judge at all. And I could just tell you what I think the Bible says and what my interpretation of it.
Right, exactly. I'm not asking what you feel.
Yeah, but with the Jewish thing, you got to understand, we believe it's like some of this stuff is kind of, it's not like you pass go and you don't. It's so bigger than that. It's hard to give you this straight, like deliberate answer that says these people get it and these people don't, because it's so like God is the one that does it. I don't do it. But I do believe that too. You know, I believe the Jews, I believe, you know, the Bible talks about a point of origin with the Jews, talks about there's a uniqueness in the people. There's something God's illustrated, I believe, through the Jews that's very, very special. And in his own people, when he came through Jesus, through this earth, and God's, even before that, you know, B.C., it's the point of origin was with the Jewish people. And, you know, you look at the Jewish people and you look at their story and the history and so in up until today, it's like they're persecuted people. There's a certain kind of walk that they've had that's unlike any other kind of people. And I think God's illustrating something very profound that we may not see in this world to come, but the next that God was doing. But with that said, you know, I believe that, you know, Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I really do believe that. And the application of that is where it is artistic. It's where it is creative. It's where it is personal and goes to the depths of someone's soul.
Right. But can you see where that belief would lead to persecution of people? I mean, the thing
is, it's not
is
the
this,
belief, it's the heart. It's the heart that leads
well,
to people to persecution.
Well, but I don't know. It's the
you
belief
cannot,
that...
You cannot sit there and say that belief leads to people being persecuted, because that's not God. Because if you believe, let me tell you, if you believe what I just said, mm-hmm. if you actually believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, you don't go persecuting anyone. You
okay,
don't do
but,
that.
Okay, but it has happened for centuries.
But that doesn't
right?
mean that means doesn't mean they're believing it. It means they're using it as control or as a power or as a tool, and they're using it as a tool for crime and for murder. That's not God. That's
no,
man.
No, but we're talking about people like.
People that
like
are,
leaders in Christianity.
Listen,
I'm
people,
not talking about people that kill and maim and stuff. I'm just saying that people in Christianity who are prominent people, and they if they believe that only by accepting Jesus Christ are you going to go to heaven, they're excluding all these other people, and you know who are responsible for the origin of this religion in the first place.
Well, ultimately, we believe God's responsible, not the people. Secondly, if you do believe, if you
no,
do,
the religion itself is something that people made.
Okay, listen.
Okay, because obviously it's different from
okay,
every,
but listen,
between every people.
I'm saying if somebody believes, you know, you can't. I mean, this is talking about generalization. You can't even. It's just so deep. Like, yeah, there's people that use it and misrepresent and mis. You know, guide people and people that use it to exclude people and hate people. But I need you to understand something when you bring this up, because mm-hmm. you need to really look at your own faith that you come from, even if you don't subscribe to it. Jews are the most notorious for exclusivity. Mm-hmm. So exclusive, meaning I lived in a Jewish community, Orthodox Jews. They barely won't even acknowledge their neighbor unless you're Hasidic Jew, unless you're them.
Yeah, but these are ultra Orthodox.
And not just
That's
that, though.
I'm
Listen
saying.
To me. Not just that. But even in the Jewish faith, mm-hmm. okay, there is exclusivity. In the Islam faith, there's exclusivity. Mm-hmm. There's tons of faith that says, guess what? We got it right. We got it right. We got it right. We got it right. And actually, if you look at the, if you really study what the Bible says, and you look at Christianity, it's not just about being Christian, because no one's technically a Christian. It's a free gift to all humanity who accept it. And it's to the Jew, it's to the Gentile, it's to, well, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It's a free gift to all humanity if you choose, if you accept. But the thing is that, you know what? There's going to be people that don't accept. There's going to be people that don't believe, mm-hmm. you know? And I can't, at the end of the day, sit around saying who's getting in and who's not. I just know what I believe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's, you know, the Bible says, you know, many are called, few are chosen. And what that means is that the call is out there. The gift is out there. And people respond in their hearts. And then it comes through their life. And some people just don't. They ignore it. Mm-hmm. And it's not this Jesus Club kind of thing or... I got to be a Republican Christian or, you know, it's not like that. It's or conservative Republican. It's not like that. It's so personal and it's so deep. And I think God extends it to all people everywhere. It's very, 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 very broad. And I think, you know, if you look at a lot of the charities and organizations, a lot of them are Christian fueled. I'm not saying they're not. Some of them are probably corrupt because most charities, not most, but there are, you know, charities that are not as truthful, but there's a lot of charity and, you know, that comes from the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, is it really claiming like this huge exclusatory any more than other faiths? Not at all. In mm-hmm. fact, I think it's less because it's not asking to make converts. Like Jesus said, I'm not here. Don't make converts. You make disciples, which is different.
Really? And you know how many people Christianity has converted, you know? Over the millennia, and
but it's not about but the difference. What I'm saying is, like, when Jesus says, he didn't say go make Christian clones or make converts. He's talking about making disciples, which is teaching him the way, being a follower of Christ. It's not about, you know, giving up your whole identity in your culture, this and that and the other. Although at the same time it is, because even, you know, I think that when you do follow Christ, your whole world does change. Everything you think you know and think you are changes. But at the same time, it's this open invitation to everyone to follow Christ. I mean, if you look at the Bible, as you know, Jesus was confronted by this young man who was wealthy, and he said, "Good teacher." And Jesus says, "Why do you call me good?" And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said, "Well, he goes, keep the commandments." And the guy says, "Oh, I've already done all that. I keep the commandments." Mm-hmm. And they told the guy, "Go sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and follow me." And it said the man went away sad because he was a very wealthy man. See, Jesus always spoke to the heart of the person. He's like, okay, you may have this part going on. You may understand this, but this is what's holding on to you. And this is the part that you have to die to, and you have to give it all up.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that's a wealth issue. So some people, it's not at all. Some people, it's a different kind of identity that they find themselves in. Some people, it's their sexuality. Some people, it's, you know, family issues. Whatever it is, Jesus really speaks to the heart. It's just so much deeper than religion, quote unquote. Like Jesus says, I have come to save that which is lost. It's like even in our brain, when we have addictions, or we have hurts and pains that we keep replaying in our head, mm-hmm. or our inability to live a life that's free. Jesus comes and he is wanting to put our quote unquote house in order. He's wanting to, you know, clean up our heart and clean up our mind from the inside out so that we can live freely as opposed to hindered and you know, trapped. It's very much, I think, an inside-out kind of thing. Not so much like if I'm a good on the outside or if I try really hard. I think it's true freedom is he goes in and he just cleans it out, you know, mm-hmm. over and over and over.
So the bottom line is everybody makes religion aligned with their beliefs and what they see and stuff. And, you know, apparently there's no one view on these things.
Well, I mean,
you know,
you're
so,
right. I mean, because if you think about it.
So to call someone, a heretic or something because he writes things like that, I think is totally keeping your mind closed, you know? I mean, let people.
I mean, I wouldn't call him a heretic, but the thing is that people, I think this is what's probably frustrating, is if somebody's saying, I'm a Christian and I read my Bible, and then they totally rewrite what it says. And not just an interpretive element, but like, because mm-hmm. some stuff is interpretive, right? It's, some stuff isn't black and white. It's we're all
everything is interpretive with the Bible.
Well, but there are some universal truths, right? And there are some universal, like, this is clear. It's not gray in the Bible. This is clear.
Mm-hmm.
And people just rewrite it. You're like, really? I mean, it's one thing to believe what you want, but it's another thing to say, oh, I believe this, but then you totally ignore this, this, and this, or you totally, you know.
Right.
Rewrite it. And I think that that's the beef that people have. I mean, I would have it too. I don't know. I haven't read this guy's book. I don't know where his point's coming from, but
right, right,
you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just when I read things in Christianity, they seem to sort of like contradict things that happened before in the Old Testament. And my question is, why is it that God at a certain point decided to nullify many things that he said and say new things? You know, like Jesus says, turn the other cheek, but in the Old Testament it says, when, I don't know the exact phrases, but when someone tries to kill you or to hurt you, then you should get up and kill them first.
I don't think it says that, but I think you're saying eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, right?
No, no.
Because that's in the Old Testament, I think.
No. What I'm saying is, if someone is trying to kill you or hurt you, you know, then you should get up and get them first.
Well, I would have to look at the scripture because I don't know.
Oh, believe me, I know. In Hebrew, I know exactly how it's said, and, you know. And,
but there's a lot of that.
It's very real. It's very real.
Well, there's a lot of, like, with the Old Testament, again, it depends on what scriptures we're dealing with, but just generally speaking, when you're saying the nullification of certain things, the New Testament talks a lot about, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And Christ says, I am the fulfillment of the law, because the law is there to show us our need of God, because it says, if you live by the law, you've got to get it perfect or you die by the law.
Right.
And if you try your hardest, damnedest, best, you're never going to get it perfect because we're not perfect people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So Jesus comes and fulfills the law. He does what we can't do, which is he lives 100% perfectly with sin free. And through that, the law is written on our hearts. But the law is there to show us the holiness of God and how we don't measure up, really. I mean, we really can't in our own strength. We're incapable of completely being perfect. We just can't. And the law, I think, was there to show us our need for God and our conscience and the rights and wrongs. And it's holy. The law is holy. But it says that the law, although is holy, stimulates sin in people. For example, in our nature, for example, like let's say you go on a diet and you keep thinking, I can't have this, I can't have that, I can't have this. You're not really focused on God. You're not really focused on looking good. You're focused on what you can't have.
Right.
So then you're like, okay, I can't have this, I can't have that, I can't have this. And you're like, chocolate cake, can't have it, chocolate cake. And you're going to have a chocolate cake, you know?
Mm.
And it's the same concept with law. Legalism. You're focused so much on what you can't do because you're trying to do the right thing, but then now you're not really focused on the good things to do. You're not really focused on God, but you're focused on, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, and until your flesh breaks and you ravish the things that you aren't supposed to do. And that the law stimulates sin, whereas the new covenant, Jesus said, I've come to fulfill the law, and if you believe in me, the law is written on your heart, and that God, Jesus brings grace. So now we're focused on God and having a relationship with him, not about getting it right. And through that love and that intimacy, you actually physically start trying, you know, you start kind of living in a way that is going to please God, but not because you're trying to, or you're trying to be a good boy or a good girl, but because there's a love there and there's just an intimacy and it's not about getting it right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think that kind of is part of the new covenant of living under grace as opposed to law.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we got your view on Christianity. And
well, you asked, so.
Well, yeah, we'll have to do with it as we will. And but, you know, I mean, look, I have to respect people and their beliefs and so forth. I just question a lot, you know, because...
I don't think it's bad. I think it's good.
Yeah, because it's... You know, it's a big part of people's lives, you know, and you know, I was raised also believing certain things and that, and I still, I believe it still affects me and my thinking and so forth, but, you know, but there's just some things that I just don't understand, you know,
and that's honest, I mean, and I don't understand.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean,
I grew up in the Bible Belt, right, and I didn't really grow up totally going to church, but I mean, my grandparents took me and... There were some things that the way that I was introduced to Christ and Christianity and God, there were some ways that it was introduced in my life that it got in the way of the real message.
Mm-hmm.
And there was things that were cultural. There was things that were just doctrine that wasn't really God. And that took time to kind of unravel itself and get out of my life, out of my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there's a way of knowing God where you're like, wait a minute, this isn't the spirit of the Lord. This isn't really love. This really isn't motivated out of love or faith. This is more fear-based, or this is more whatever. And there's a lot of that that I remember, you know, growing up around, where, you know, there was just a stuff that was just, you're like, this is really God? I don't know. Okay, I'll buy into it for a bit. But you're like, no, this isn't God.
Yeah. But you see, like, another contradiction, for example, is, you know, God told the Israelites, you know, not to make false prophets, not to also worship, like, people or animals and things like that. That's why in a synagogue, you'll never see pictures of people or animals or anything like that, you know. And yet in Christianity, they're doing just that, you know. I mean, it's at least the way he appeared, he's a human being, and now people are worshiping that image, you know.
Well, I mean, that's Sam, come on. Like, yeah, there's people that are going to worship a car. There's people that are going to worship.
No, but I mean, but you go
into church. Doesn't mean they're worshiping it. And you got to understand the context of what Jesus was taught.
Doesn't mean they're worshiping Jesus?
Because you see an image doesn't mean people are worshiping the image. They may or may not be. But listen, going back to what you're talking about with God telling the Israelites that, they were with Moses, and that was the origin with Moses, and they came from a place of pagan worship where they worshipped false idols. They worshipped things of their hands. They worshipped these things. So they were coming out of that kind of mentality, and God said, no, we're not doing any of this, because you have a temptation to try to worship the physical. And I believe that that's a part of the context of why that was specific for the people of that time. Nowadays, is that an issue? It may be an issue. Do people have an issue of worshiping what they see and worshiping an image? They may. Some people, they may not. I don't think it's wrong to have artwork in a church, as long as it's not, again, the focal point. It's not what you...
Excuse me. When you walk into a church, the pictures and sculptures of Jesus are the focus point, okay?
No, it just depends. I mean, are you talking about Catholicism? Because they're big into that. Christianity is really not, but Catholicism is big.
Catholicism is part of Christianity.
No, they're not the same. We have similar.
What do you mean it's not the same?
It's very different.
Oh, different from what? From Christianity or
Christianity
from Protestants?
Protestant and Catholicism.
Right, of Christianity.
Listen, but they're very different.
I know they're different.
Very different.
But they're both parts of Christianity.
You cannot even clump. There's obviously some common truths and some big truths that we hold, but the things you're talking about, that's not Protestant worship.
All right.
And I don't even know if that's Catholicism. I just know that they have it there.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, those are good questions. Like, why is it up there then?
Yeah.
I mean.
All right. Well, we're not going to answer all the questions today, Kira. Maybe some other time.
No, we are, Sam. We better Google that. I'll Wikipedia. You Google it, okay?
Wikipedia, that's going to give me the answers.
I'm just saying. Wikipedia, meaning of life.
I'll have a conversation with God. I'll get better answers.
Okay, let me know.
Yeah.
Keep me posted.
I'm going to
email.
All right. Okay. Well, so much for religion. We've focused on that a lot today, which we tend to do sometimes. But I think people like to discuss these things, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully some people will call in the future and give us their opinions. But our listeners kind of like to sit back and relax.
I think our listeners
will accept that.
They like their downloads. They're like, we'll listen to it when we damn well please.
Anyway, well, not many people call radio stations, you know, so.
So we're basically a bunch of winners is what we're saying.
What we are. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. It's been a pleasure serving you, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.